Turn with me in your Bibles to Proverbs 31. If you brought your Bibles, turn to Proverbs 31. If not, the Pew Bible, it's page 552. And I would ask you all to follow along as you're turning to this particular text. What we are about to read together is a section of Scripture that, quite frankly, a number of women find to be cringeworthy. It is, after all, the ideal woman painted on the canvas of these verses. Talented, productive, strong, caring, fearless lady. She's a morning person and she's a night person. In other words, this seems to be specifically designed to induce guilt in the women. One lady, after hearing a sermon on this, told her pastor, says, "For me, trying to find myself in this passage is more difficult than trying to find Waldo in a book." Well, it does seem, when we read this, seems to be a picture of a lady who's kind of a combination of June Cleaver from Leave It to Beaver, Norma Arnold, the mother from the television dramedy The Wonder Years, and, let's face it, Wonder Woman. You know, for some women, if they are honest, this looks like a laundry list of to-dos, custom designed to frustrate. Now, men can read this, and, you know, it's easy for pride to kick in, men, and for us to see this as a 31-point inspection system for a potential wife or for the one you're married to now. So whether male or female, a lot of you reading this chapter will come away that this is a section of Scripture that applies only to women. I would encourage you to look again, because Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, a holy inspired Paul says that all of God's Word, even Proverbs 31, is profitable to all believers to equip all of us for every good work, work fueled by gratitude for the grace of God, fueled by a desire to bring glory to God. If Proverbs 31 was a letter, friends, it would be addressed to Mr. and Mrs. So let's look now at this letter. Let's read it together, beginning with verse 10. Hear now the word of God. "An excellent wife who can find? She is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax. She works with willing hands. She's like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. She puts her hands to the distaff and her hands hold the spindle. She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. She's not afraid of snow for her household, and all her household are clothed in scarlet. She makes bed coverings for herself, and clothing is fine linen and purple as her clothing. Her husband is known in the gates, where he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchant. Strength and dignity are her clothing. And she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain. But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates." I'm going to go back through this passage of Scripture. Keep your Bibles open. This is God's Word. Let us pray. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we thank you not only for the teachings that are obvious in your Word, but the teachings that we tend, for one reason or the other, to sort of pass over. We know that all your word is useful. So, Lord, we pray that you illumine your word by your Spirit so that we may understand this word and may apply it to our lives. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You'd ask most people, what is Proverbs 31 beginning at verse 10 about? They say it's about literally a virtuous woman, a woman of valor, an ideal wife. Is it? Is that what this chapter is about? The answer to the question is unambiguous, yes and no. You see, there is another side in this chapter, a side that is often, unfortunately, overlooked. It's a blind spot that many have when reading this chapter. Did you notice this text also addresses the man of the house, the husband of this wife? As a matter of fact, this chapter reveals three actions that signify how the husband of this lady, whose portrait is painted on the canvas of Proverbs 31, how this husband relates to his wife. And wouldn't you know it? The way this husband relates to his wife is a mirror image of the way Jesus Christ relates to his bride, which is the church. A mirror image. This morning, let's turn Proverbs 31 around and discover together how a Proverbs 31 husband treats his wife. Now, if you're married, hear the words of Jesus, "He who has ears, let him hear." If you're unmarried, if you're a man and unmarried, this is how a real man in covenant with God through faith in Christ, this is how you're to treat a woman. If you're an unmarried Christian woman, here's the man you're looking for. If you're a young person, middle-aged, older, and the person that you're, I think they call it talking with these days, or dating, if they don't display these three characteristics, ladies, run like the wind and keep looking, keep praying until God brings this man into your life. Notice in the first place, the first character-driven action of a Proverbs 31 man is this. A Proverbs 31 man treasures his wife. Treasures his wife. Many of you will remember the late Rodney Dangerfield, stand-up comedian with bulging eyes, always sweating, always pulling his collar to the side. His trademark line was, "I don't get no respect." But the problem is, in a lot of ways, Dangerfield didn't give any respect either. He used to make his wife the brunt of his jokes. I'll just mention a couple of the lighter ones he told on his wife. He said, "You know, my wife and I were happy for 20 years. Then we met." He also said, "I haven't spoken to my wife in years. I didn't want to interrupt her." Now, for a man who didn't get any respect and knew what that felt like, he certainly wasn't giving any respect either. As a matter of fact, if you were to overhear the conversations of many husbands and wives, you would come away with the distinct idea that husbands and wives do not speak respectfully to each other. I would like to tell you that what I'm about to tell you is a joke, but it was actually revealed in a marriage counseling session. It's communicated to me by a pastor of another church. He's talking about this couple is driving down a country road, several miles. They haven't said a word. They had a discussion that led to an argument. Neither husband nor wife wanted to concede their point, and so they were sitting there in silence going down this country road. As they pass a barnyard of mules and goats and pigs, the wife just couldn't handle it anymore. She turns to her husband with a very sarcastic tone in her voice, says, "Those would be relatives of yours, right?" To which the husband replies, "Oh, absolutely, those are my in-laws." Now, speaking that way is out of character with Proverbs 31. Notice the testimony of the Proverbs 31 man. Look at verse 10. "An excellent wife, who can find? She is far more precious than jewels." This man is comparing his wife to other women. He's comparing his wife to exotic, mega valuable gemstones. And he says, you surpass all of this. As a matter of fact, in verse 29, it says, many women have done excellently, that comparison, but you surpass them all. In other words, this man sees his wife as a gracious gift from the Lord. He sees his wife's amazingness. He sees his wife as precious. I'm an old disc jockey from the 70s, and several songs began swirling around in my mind when I thought about this. Cherish is the word I used to describe. You are so beautiful to me. Joe Cocker croaking that one out. Kenny Rogers, you decorated my life. And one of my favorite love songs, I just want to share it with you, is called A Portrait of My Love. And there's a line in there that says, it would take, I know, a Michelangelo. And he would need the glow of dawn that paints the skies above to try and paint a portrait of my love. That could have been written by the Proverbs 31 man, because he sees his woman that kind of plus and even more. You know, in Proverbs, for the believer in Yahweh, the Lord, it says in the very first chapter, the fear of the Lord is to us being wise what the letter A is to the alphabet. You know, this idea of the fear of the Lord, being captivated by the awesomeness of a holy God who redeems people by His grace, that fear of the Lord is the beginning letter of the alphabet of wisdom in dealing with your wife. Point being, a man who fears the Lord also believes his wife is far more beautiful and far more valuable than a truck bed filled with diamonds. She's a truck full of jewels beyond compare, treasured above all things, even those things Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount will be destroyed. Moth and rust will one day destroy them. You know, a man ought to be beyond enamored with his wife. After all, isn't your wife more interesting than Netflix, SportsCenter, or a really beautiful golf swing? You know, men who find more joy tinkering in the garage, fiddling with their hobbies, hanging with the brothers, or working late into the night rather than rejoicing with the wife of their youth, are revealing something about their heart's condition, and it's not a good revelation. See, a wise man sees his wife as living, breathing, walking, talking testimony of God's grace. Let me read this passage from Proverbs 18:22. It is so true. He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. You know, if you want to live for the glory of God in Christ, we ask some serious questions, men. Is my wife precious to me? Does she sense how much I adore her? And after the triune God, after confessing with my lips and life that Jesus is more precious than anything in the world, is my wife dear to me because I love her so much? Is it obvious to my wife that I treasure her? Proverbs 31 man treasures his wife. The second character-driven action of a Proverbs 31 man is this. A Proverbs 31 man creates a culture of flourishing. This man creates a culture of flourishing. Look at verse 11. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. Notice actually saying trust in is a little bit of an unfortunate translation. It's the heart of her husband trusts her. He doesn't trust in her as in she is his salvation, but he trusts her as a person. And what's written in beautiful one-inch capital letters, newspaper headline, all over Proverbs 31, you see how fruitful and productive and active and energetic this woman is. She's buying fields, making goods, selling to the market, tending to everyone in the house. She's a go-getter, and let me tell you why. Because her husband is not a dictator. He's not a control freak trying to keep his wife under her thumb, under his thumb. You see, on both sides of a marriage, there is no room for a Messiah complex because there is only one Lord. And the Lord of the marriage is Jesus and not the husband or the wife. And so the Proverbs 31 man trusts his wife. He's not suspicious of her. He's not looking over her shoulder, not checking out her iPhone and her text and her emails and blowing up her phone if she doesn't respond to messages immediately. He's not critical and skeptical toward the ideas his wife has. He supports, encourages, and absolutely refuses to micromanage his wife. I want you to realize, men, there is a difference between an Ephesians 5 scripted, Holy Spirit-filled, gospel-formed leadership and egotistical control that feeds a man's fallen nature. I actually had this happen in a church I served. There was this man who made his wife stop going to Sunday evening worship services and to ladies' Bible studies. And when I asked him why, he said this: I didn't like it that my wife came home, that when my wife came home from these things, she was at a different place where I was spiritually. And my response was, of course she was. After all, she's seeking out means of spiritual growth and community in the church, and you're not. He said something else. He said, what do you think of my idea? I said, I think you're a self-serving, sanctimonious jerk. That's what I think. Listen, it is impossible for a man to maintain his control issues while at the same time confessing along with the Apostle Paul the truth of Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. I have surrendered every selfish ambition and desire to the perfect will of God, which in the case of Proverbs 31 is helping your wife to grow and to flourish in the Lord. Did you notice when we were reading that the Proverbs 31 woman, she goes out and buys a field, it doesn't say her husband is following alongside of her, looking over his shoulder. What I imagine is that this couple talked before they headed out, you know, honey, while you're busy working at the center of business and politics, that is, by the way, in verse 23, what the gate is. That's where the man is. He's in the center of business. He's doing business. He's doing politics. I think I'm going to check out some fields today. And you know what? I just might buy one. What do you think? Oh, I don't know. You know, it's not what you hear. No. Go for it. I trust you. I actually talked with a man one day who insisted that he approve the weekly grocery list before his wife went to the store. Ridiculous. You discuss what's needed for the week, you talk about the budget, but trust your wife with buying decisions. I have a revelation for you this morning. My wife handles our finances. Yes, you heard it right, men. I endorse my check and hand it over to my wife. I have found out through 30 plus years of marriage, this lady is a skilled, savvy money manager. I don't mind turning my paycheck to my wife because I know that is one of her strengths. And conversely, I also know I'm clueless when it comes to managing money. So I'm not going to even try to audit how Carol handles the family finances for two reasons. Number one, I'm not as dumb as I look. And number two, I want to encourage Carol to do what she does well. Men, whether you realize it or not, your wife has some skills and gifts in some areas that surpass your skills and gifts and abilities. Are you going to help your woman flourish in what she does well? Or are you just going to be a control freak? Which is it? See, a Proverbs 31 man, he treasures his wife. He trusts his wife. He creates a culture. It's a greenhouse where she grows and uses her gifts to the glory of God. But the third character-driven action of a Proverbs 31 man is this. A Proverbs 31 man encourages his wife. Look at verse 28. Notice, her children rise up and call her blessed. Now notice this, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. What you have here painted on the canvas of Proverbs 31 is an amazing home, safe environment, place of encouragement, a culture of love, a gospel culture. Notice children who haven't been taught the stealthy ways of being selfish yet rise up and bless their mom. And, you know, mom, you are the bomb. And what does the husband do? Notice it says he joins in the family chorus of praise. Wow. You know, there's a lot of great women in the world today, honey, but you are the best. What a woman you are. We have, in the last 6 months, we've lost two significant theologians. They're now in heaven enjoying the glory of God. One is Dr. R.C. Sproul. The other is, as you know, Billy Graham. Both of them in heaven with a multitude of the redeemed, of loved ones that have gone before us, enjoying the glory of God. But I remember something Dr. Sproul said. He was doing a sermon on Genesis 2, where God is giving away the bride. He forms Eve from the rib of man and brings the wife to the man, and he calls her Eve. Sproul speculates that really what might have happened is this. The reason that Adam called her woman is because the first time he saw her, he said, "Whoa, man." And he said, "Even after 5 decades of being married to my wife, Vesta, I still look at my wife and say, 'Whoa, man.' I really mean it." Please understand, the praise of a Proverbs 30 man is real, it's sincere, and it's godly. See, a Proverbs 31 man seeks to encourage his wife. He labors, in the words of Romans 12:10, to outdo his wife in showing honor. Friends, he pours encouragement and thanksgiving into the love tank of a praiseworthy wife. You know, I suspect that most husbands here and most believers here today are prone to under-encourage others. Let me draw your attention very quickly. Just jot this down. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. It's a command. Encourage one another and build each other up. That's the command. Move towards your wife with an unprompted, pure act of love and encourage her. Affirm her, thank her. Thank God for your wife. The wise husband following the example of Christ in Ephesians 19, it says that Christ nourishes and cherishes his bride, provides for her needs, gives his bride warmth and comfort and protection and security. You know, it is only by the mega grace of God that we enjoy in the gospel that we even have the power, the vision, and the heart to do this. To build each other up. But men, remember this. If you're a Christian, it's no longer us who live, it's Christ who lives in us. That's what Galatians 2:20 says. So ultimately, the Proverbs 30 man is alive and well. He's seated in the heavenly places. Jesus is guiding us and leading us and empowering us and conforming us into his image. I want you to know, as we draw this together today, Proverbs 31, this man is more than just a neat way to go about husbanding. Friends, please understand, this is the way of Jesus. Jesus rejoices over his bride. Jesus encourages us. Jesus walks with us. Jesus fills us with his Spirit. Jesus is the Proverbs 31 man who, in the words of John 1:14, became flesh and lived among us. Husbands, future husband, men, the invitation from God's word is draw near to the Lord and he will draw near to us. He will empower us to do what we need to do. And if we do that, God will do his part. And you know what? We, men, and the homes that we lead will be transformed. They'll never be the same again. In a good way. Let's pray. Lord, your son Jesus because of what we have received, that is God's grace in Christ, we understand that we are treasured. So that frees us up to not try to establish our own significance, but to treasure our wives, our spouses. Christ saves us to grow us, not just to exist, but to flourish. Lord, let us be doing the kind of things that people who are rejoiced over by Jesus do. Help us to do whatever we need to help our wives to grow and to flourish in our marriages. Lord, because of our bridegroom, we live in a gospel culture. And we have been brought to a place that because of the encouragement of the gospel, now we can take that encouragement and give it to others. Lord, for those of us who are married, we thank you for the spouses you've given us. They are gifts, they are blessings. Lord, we ask for every family in here, every family represented, that you would come to our marriages, that you would come into our families, and that you would transform them by your grace so that our families can be what you would have them to be, and so that we can go out armed with this gospel message and be a blessing to the world, the neighborhood, the nations, because of how you have transformed us and our families. Lord, we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.